Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Usually when we have readings, there is a consistent theme through the readings. And so as I looked for those things today, it occurred to me that there wasn't a theme just jumping right out to me. The Old Testament lesson talks about the Ten Commandments. The Epistle lesson talks about Christ crucified and God making worldly things worthless. And in the Gospel lesson, Jesus is driving out the money changers and the people who are selling sheep and oxen and pigeons. So as you think about that, what is the consistent theme here? It doesn't jump right out at us like it does sometimes. And so let's take a little closer look at each of the lessons and see if we can find something there that might be a consistent theme for us to look at for today. In the Old Testament, the people are camped at Mount Sinai. They've been about 3 months or so now in the wilderness. And God reminds them that He sent the 10 plagues to the people of Egypt so that the children of Israel could go free. When they got to the Red Sea, God opened the Red Sea so they crossed on dry ground. God has provided water for them from a rock when Moses struck that rock with his rod. And God, all this time now, has been providing food in the form of manna and quail. Those are some awesome and unexpected actions on God's part. And now while they are there at Mount Sinai, the mountain is covered with smoke, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's darkness, and the mountain trembles. And God speaks to his people. That's why the mountain is trembling. That's why there's smoke and lightning and thunder. And God reminds them of the things that he has done for them. And then he gives them what we call the Ten Commandments, or at least he gives them part of. He talks about how they should relate to him, and he talks about how they should relate to one another. We read this. Imagine now if you would that you are standing at the foot of a mountain, and that mountain is smoking and trembling, and there's lightning and thunder, and this big booming voice begins to speak directly to you as an individual. God spoke to the children of Israel. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children of the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Imagine God speaking directly to you. That's what he did to the people of Mount Sinai. And as we read a little bit later, that's about as close as they wanted to get. Because in verse 18 we read, now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet of the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and they trembled. And they stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. God's presence there at Mount Sinai is such an ominous event. It's so terrifying to the people that they are afraid they will die if God speaks to them anymore. And so they ask Moses to speak for him. Another unexpected and awesome way that God has interacted with his people on earth. Turning to the epistle lesson now, Paul reminds us that the story of the cross, the greatest story ever told, is folly to a lot of the world. But it is the power of God to those of us who are saved by it. God has destroyed the wisdom of the wise, Paul says. God has shown the wisdom of the world to be folly. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, or those who think they are strong. Jesus died in weakness so that we might have eternal life. That's what Paul is saying. That's just plain upside down to the world according to the standards that it keeps. Death is failure, and yet in Jesus' death, there is victory over Satan. And then turning to the New Testament, Jesus says, Jesus drives out the money changers and those who are selling cattle and sheep. That's not the kind of Jesus that we usually think about. We usually think of Jesus as being kind and gentle and compassionate, and the guy who would be carrying the lamb, we think of him as being a soft-spoken man of wise statements. And yet the reading for today is one of four times when Jesus shows his righteous indignation. He goes to the temple where he finds sheep and cattle and stacks of doves in cages, and he drives them out. Another example of Jesus doing unexpected and some pretty awesome things. Imagine, if you will, having oxen and sheep out there in the narthex. How upset would that make you? Jesus takes a cord and drives out those people. His actions are not because of a violent spirit, but as Luther describes it, zeal is an angry love or a jealous love. His anger, Jesus' anger, does not arise from hatred. It springs from love toward his Father, which revealed his relationship with God and to the people of Israel. Jesus' response is a pretty awesome and unexpected reaction. You might be thinking at this point, well, sure, but all of those things happened years and years ago, a couple thousand years ago at least. So let me give you an example of how God might be doing those sorts of things, those unexpected and awesome things in our lives today. I came across this story this week. A man is approaching retirement, and he's wrongly accused of a crime. Even though he was innocent, charges were filed against him, and it put him in a terrible, terrible dilemma. He had to decide between two dreadful options. One option was for him to mortgage his house and cover the expected perhaps $100,000 of legal costs, of attorney fees that it would take to defend himself in court. But as we know, courts sometimes don't get to real justice, and so there was a possibility that even though he would have spent that much money, he would still have been found guilty and sent to prison. Despite his innocence, that might mean him spending several years, perhaps 5 or 10, in prison. And that would almost certainly mean the loss of his home, because how could he make that mortgage payment if he were in prison? The other abysmal option that he had was to accept a plea bargain. But that would mean certain prison, although a shorter period of time, perhaps 6 months or a year. What a dreadful, dreadful position for a person to be placed into. Through all this, and this occurred over a period of time, this man and his wife remained faithful to God. And after weeks of prayerful consideration, they decided that they would take the plea deal. At least the man would be in prison for a short period of time, and then he would be released. And you might say, where in the world is God in this? What is God thinking? Why would he cause a couple who is loyal to him? Why would he allow this to happen to them? But remember, God does some awesome and unexpected things. 2 years after that ordeal, this couple had this to say. Through this terrible trial, we learned so much. What a blessing this time has been for both of us. It sounds so odd, but God has worked his power through the Holy Spirit. We both feel such a close and personal relationship with Jesus that we've never felt before. We've been able to witness in places where we would never have thought of witnessing before. The good Lord has provided all that we need, and even more than that. We are so grateful for the change that has taken place. Our faith has grown so significantly with this terrible hardship. God is so good to show us the way just as he has promised that he would do. What an unexpected turn of events for this couple. What a wonderful testimony of their faith. You see, God still does awesome and unexpected things even in this world today. If in fact God does unexpected and awesome things in the world, then let me ask you a couple questions. If Jesus walked into our church today, what awesome and unexpected things might he do? He wouldn't be driving out people selling animals or changing coins. We don't have those. To the contrary, we might think, well, our narthex has lots of good books for us to read. There's lots of good religious material on our tables. So I ask you again, what unexpected things would Jesus do? What would you want him to do? What would you suggest to him that he do? What awesome and unexpected things? And one more question. What awesome and unexpected thing would you say, oh, but don't change this, Lord. This is just fine. We like this the way it is. Some interesting questions to ponder. During this season of Lent, we talk about preparing ourselves for that glorious Easter morning when we can once again say, Christ has risen. In that preparation, we need to cleanse not only the temple of the church, but the temple of our hearts, because that is indeed where God lives. But like the people of Sinai who feared God's voice when it was directed at them personally, we may not want to see or have God see what's there in our hearts. But like the couple in the story, the right result might be a rejuvenation of our faith. It might be an opportunity to learn things far beyond our expectations. We might develop a much stronger and a much closer relationship with God. We might see the goodness of God in difficult experiences and in ways that we haven't thought of or experienced before. In our Wednesday class evening services, we have been talking about the places of passion, places where Jesus in those days went before his crucifixion. Places where he changed things. We heard about the upper room where Jesus changed the disciples' conversation about who was the greatest to who should be a servant. You heard about Jesus praying in the garden when he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." This week you will hear how Jesus changed things in the courtyard and made it a place of renewal for Peter. in each of those places, Jesus did some awesome and unexpected things. Today, we're reminded of the awesome and unexpected things that God did to free his people from the land of Egypt. Today, we are reminded that the weak and the foolish things of this world are signs of God's greatness. Today, we're reminded that Jesus cleansed the temple of our hearts, which need to be cleansed. Today, we are reminded that God still does some pretty unexpected and awesome things in our lives today. During this season of Lent, we invite Jesus into our hearts so that we are better prepared for that Easter morning when we celebrate and have joy in his resurrection. During this season of Lent, we invite Jesus into our hearts so that we are prepared. God has done and still is doing some unexpected and some pretty awesome things in the ways that we many times don't understand. How can a man wrongfully accused be imprisoned? Consider that to be a blessing. How can that experience result in a closer relationship with God? How can he now witness where he couldn't witness before? The answer to all of these questions is because God is an awesome God, and he does awesome and unexpected things in awesome and unexpected ways. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ our Lord. Amen.